Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We're starting a new series this week, and I just want you to know that if I get quiet today, if I stop in the middle, I'm just listening to what Holy Spirit is saying, because he just keeps downloading things to me today. And I don't want it to feel awkward or anything, but if I just get quiet, I'm just listening to what he's saying in the direction that he wants to go in this message. I was awake several times in the night last night, just praying for today, praying for this service, these services. I was down here in worship, both services, just wrecked by his presence. And really what he showed me today is that he's walking up and down these aisles today. And he's just like tapping you on the shoulder. Hey, listen. Listen up. You're not here by mistake. Listen to what's being said. Listen, this is important. We start this new series called Focus today. And the next several messages and passages from the book of Matthew, we're going to be talking about focus and what that looks like. To focus, like the definition of focus, is to concentrate our attention to someone or something. Concentrate our attention on someone or something. And we live in a society, in a world, where our focus and our attention is always being fought over. Do you ever feel that? That there are so many things screaming for our attention. It's a little chaotic sometimes. And our ability to focus on one thing for a certain amount of time is known as our attention span. And research has shown that the more that we have fighting for our attention, the more things that are fighting for our attention, the less ability we have to focus on one singular thing. I've seen this. I've seen it in my own life. Like, that my ability to stay honed in and focused on something seems to get less and less and less. And I want, like, there's other things that distract me. I want to play a game on my phone. I want to check my email. There are all these things going through my head, like, oh, I wonder if someone texts me. Oh, I wonder if this, right? As we're trying to focus in on one single thing. When I was raising my kids, I have four kids, and when I was raising them, I feel like I was pretty successful because they're all still alive. So I raised them all to adulthood, and they didn't die, so that's pretty successful. And when I was raising my kids, though, when I needed to tell them something important, I would have a way of, like, getting their attention. Like, I would say, like, look at my eyes. Let me see your face. Like, I wanted to, like, make sure they were seeing me and they were hearing me, right? I would ask them to, like, repeat what I said. Like, okay, what did I just say? What do I want you to do? Like, what do you need to do at this point? So I'm, like, making sure they understand. Sometimes I would even, like, go if I could see that they were being distracted, I would go and, like, turn off the distractions or shut them off, to make sure that I was getting their full attention. I was a teacher for 7 years. The majority of those years I was teaching fourth graders. And anytime I was introducing a new subject or a new topic to them, you try holding the attention of 32 9-year-olds, okay? Right? And so I would, like, say things like this, like, hey, listen, what I'm about to tell you is really important. I would say things like this. What I'm about to tell you is, like, high school stuff. And so you have to really listen to what I'm saying, because it's high school stuff. and you got it, I want you to catch it. Okay? But I mean, what does that do when somebody tells you like what you're about to hear is stuff that you probably shouldn't be hearing? Like you might not even be ready to hear it, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. You're like, ooh, what is this? This is a special treat, right? Well, I think over these next few weeks, this is what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying, hey, look at me. Look at my eyes. What I have to say right now is really important. What I have to say to you is like life or death kind of things. What I have to say to you is like eternity dependent. It's really important. Listen, listen to what I'm saying. And he's walking up and down the aisles today saying, hey, this is important. Hey, listen, don't miss this. Don't be distracted. Don't let anything get in the way of what I'm trying to say to you. Focus on me. Let me see your face. Let me see your eyes, right? Jesus is wanting us to direct our focus on his words while the world and the spirits that run this world are constantly trying to divert us and divert our focus. To divert something means this: to draw the attention of someone from one thing to another, or to change the course or direction. Do you hear that? To divert something means to change the focus of one's attention from one thing to another, or to change one's course or direction. The first message in this series is called Diverted. And I think that the whole point of this is that the enemy is constantly trying to divert our focus from what Jesus is saying and where he's directing to what we are assuming or what we want to hear or what he wants us to hear. And as we read this next passage today, I want you to know it's really easy for us to sit here and be judgmental of the disciples and what they did and what they saw and what they didn't do. But what I want you to do is I want you to listen to what Jesus is saying to you personally. Hey, this is where you're being diverted. This is how you're being distracted right now. As I read to you today's passage and we look at it together, I want you to open up your heart to anything Jesus is saying about you personally and not be like, hey, can't have that. Jesus might actually tap you on the shoulder and be like, this is a problem. This is actually taking attention away from me. And so right now, I'm just going to say, like, offense, you don't get to stay here today. Yeah. Offense, you don't get to speak. Be quiet. Anger, frustration, be quiet in Jesus' name. And Father God, we just ask you to speak truth. We just release the spirit of truth over this place. We're going to start today's message by reading the passage in Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. And this is what it says. Later, they crossed to the other side of the lake. After they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread. Watch out, Jesus warned them. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. And Jesus knew what they were saying. So he said, you have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up. Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again, I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then, at last, they understood that he wasn't speaking about bread, about the yeast in bread, but about the deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Anytime we hear Jesus say, watch out, we better pay attention. Yeah. If we're reading God's word and we see, watch out, look out for, be on guard against, listen, we better like, what is he saying? What do I need to look out for? What do I need to pay attention to? Because in this passage right here shows us how the enemy tries to divert our attention and tries to divert our focus from where God is leading us to where he wants to take us. Okay? Now, I want you to remember that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious leaders of the day. And the problem with them was that they had inserted some of their own thinking, some of their own opinions, some of their own practices into God's word. So they were following what God had commanded, and they were following that. And also, they were saying, and you have to do this, and you need to pay this, and you need to act this way. So they were inserting their own ideas in addition to, or in place of, what God had said. And that is where Jesus is like, look out for this. Not just when it comes to regarding the Sadducees and Pharisees, but when it comes to us living in 2025 in Medford, Oregon. Watch out. Look out. What's being said? What are you hearing? And does it line up with God's word? So the first way that the enemy tries to divert us, as we see in this passage, is he tries to get us to make assumptions without checking for clarity. Okay? He tries to get us to make assumptions without checking for clarity. All right? At the beginning of this passage, it says, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring bread. Okay? They forgot to pack a lunch, all right? And Jesus says to them, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The disciples then assume that Jesus is now frustrated with them because they forgot to bring bread. And he's like, well, since you didn't bring it, make sure, like, here's what you need to go out and get. Listen. Good teachers want you to ask questions. Good teachers expect you to ask questions. Good teachers open up the floor for questions. Because of this reason, questions bring clarity. And Pastor Shaq says all the time, we thrive in clarity, right? We thrive in clarity. When we have a clear understanding of what is being said or what is being expected, we're able to move forward without hesitation. Because questions open up the door to understanding. Yeah. And teachers rely on questions to guide the conversation. Because if you don't ask questions, there's an assumption that you understand, right? And so, here's Jesus telling them, look out for this, and without asking any questions, they start arguing with each other. Like, way to go, Peter. Way to forget the bread. Well, John, if you would have gone into town yesterday and got the bread, well, Judas was hoarding all the money, so I couldn't get any money to buy any bread, okay? Can you just see it? Right? they immediately made this assumption that Jesus is talking about the fact that they failed in packing a lunch, because they had failed in packing a lunch. Instead of saying, Jesus, are you frustrated with us? Jesus, are you talking about the fact that we didn't bring any bread? Is that why you're saying to look out for the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Because if we go into the market and like buy bread made with their yeast, we're going to get sick. You see how the simple question, Jesus could be like, nope, that's not what I'm talking about. But they didn't ask the question. They just started playing the blame game. And when we choose to ask questions and ask God to bring clarity, the door to understanding is open up. In Psalms chapter 25, verses 4 through 5, David wrote, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all day long. In Psalms 86, verse 11, it says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Good teaching comes from conversations between the student and the teacher. Listen, I would have had a classroom full of failures as a teacher if my students never had the opportunity to ask questions or weren't taught to ask questions. And right here, Jesus is saying, ask me. Listen, you don't understand? Ask me. Sometimes Jesus talks to us and like gives us a little snippet of something, and there brings this confusion, like I don't know what he's trying to say. And almost it either does this, it either paralyzes us or it causes us to walk in, well, maybe he means this then, causes us to walk in assumption. But I'm going to challenge you. If God speaks to you something and you are not clear as to what he means and what he's saying, you know what you need to do? God, what do you mean? Jesus, what do you mean by this? Is this what you mean? Is this what you want me to do? Because questions bring clarity. And God is so desperate to have a relationship and a conversation with us that he's not going to just like give you a lecture. He wants you to converse with him. I'm going to say something, and then like, hey, you, and what do you think of that? Then I'm going to answer that. Then I'm going to ask you, what do you think of that? Do you understand? What did I just say? How do you feel about that? Not that he cares if we don't like what he says, but he still wants to talk to you about it, right? He does it. His feelings aren't hurt if you don't like what he says. They're not. Okay? Don't make assumptions without checking for clarity. The next way that the enemy tries to divert us and how he was diverting the disciples is causing us not to look back at what Jesus has already done. I think that the disciples would have been saved a whole paragraph of conversation if they would have just remembered that Jesus had taken a couple of loaves of bread and literally fed tens of thousands of people. Yeah. Right? If they would have just remembered, like, actually, he doesn't need us to bring a lunch. He can provide lunch for us. It's not about the bread. Because he's already miraculously supplied bread for tens of thousands of people, and we watched it happen. The supernatural work of God in our lives is not just for that initial moment. Listen, it's amazing when God shows up. It's amazing when he provides. It's amazing when he heals. It's amazing when he saves. It's amazing when he brings freedom. It's life-changing. But it's not just for that initial moment. It's for us to look back and remember those moments when the next challenge comes up. Now, yes, We should always be looking for anything new that God wants to do in us, through us, for us. But that doesn't mean that we forget and disregard how he's shown up in the past. Because we can look back and remember what he has done in order to know what he can do. Right? I want you to hear this very carefully. The enemy will always remind you of what you have done in the past. But he will never remind you of what God has done. The enemy will always remind you of what you've done. But he will never remind us of God's past. Because God's past behaviors literally crushed the enemy's head. And the enemy knows is that when we start walking in that belief and in those promises, then he's defeated. Yeah. And he doesn't get to have that place in our lives. Psalm 77 verse 11 to 12 says this, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. His actions, his behaviors are meant to be remembered and celebrated over and over and over. The final thing that I see that the enemy uses in this passage to divert us is using what we want to hear or think we hear to bring static to what we need to hear. Jesus compared the false teaching of the religious leaders to yeast. And the smallest amount of yeast causes a chemical reaction in a whole batch of dough. The smallest amount. Just a couple hundred granules of yeast causes an immense reaction in a ball of dough. The same way, the smallest amount of ungodly thinking or teaching diverts our focus and can cause us to start drifting. Just the smallest amount. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. You can find any teaching, any publication, you can find anything to agree with an opinion you want to have. You can. You absolutely can. But only those teachings that are grounded in the Word of God are the ones that will move us forward. That is why it is so important to know this Word. It is so important to know what is written in this word. Do you actually mean it when you say, within this book is the very direction of my life, and I will follow it? Because if you do, that means everything you come in contact with, every teaching, every publication, everything you see on social media should be weighed in the balance of what you read in this word. And if it's not true, if it doesn't line up, it should be discarded. Because that smallest amount of yeast is going to spoil the thinking in our lives. I was on social media this last week, and I'm not on very often. I never post online. And I was on Facebook, and I saw on my daughter's social media story, it said this: the enemy doesn't have to destroy your faith in a day, just distracts you for a decade. Well, he doesn't have to break down your faith in a day. He just has to keep you distracted for a long period of time until all of a sudden your focus is completely on him and he is leading you to hell. Yeah. But when we cling to the words of Psalms 119, 105, and it says this, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. we can be sure that as we are letting his words of truth guide us and lead us, we can be sure that we are walking our way to eternity with him.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.